certain events that we will highlight or we give significance to, things that happen. It's always a exciting time whenever have children. People are always excited about when they take their first steps, able to walk around. It's probably even exciting to the child and maybe exciting to the parents. One reason why that's such a big event is because it gives a different level of independence to that child that now can get around a lot more. Sometimes that makes it quite a bit more difficult on the parents. So I don't know if it's such a great thing from the parents' perspective. And then you get to the age where you're able to drive. You're 16, you get your license. It's a big event. Getting married is a big event. Then having children. Buying a home. These are probably some of the more significant events that we would put in this classification. Again, the child's first steps. Driving is the same thing. There's a different level of independence that comes with that, as well as responsibility. Marriage changes things a lot of adjustments. It's a big event. Having children does the same thing. Buying a home brings a whole new level of financial responsibility, a debt that is incurred. So we have these big events during our lifetime. There's other ones besides these, but these probably are ones that are always mentioned. Tonight, just for a little bit, we're going to talk about three giant steps to heaven. And these are important steps in our lives because more so than the ones that we've already mentioned, they have a great, great impact on our life, on our eternal life. In that first step, as we're talking about these steps towards heaven, the first step is stepping out of ourself, out of self. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. When Jesus is there with his disciples, he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" All these verses really define this taking this big step out of ourself. He says, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, take up the cross and follow me. And when Jesus says, if you desire to save your life, if you desire to hang on to your life, just keep yourself to yourself, then he goes, you're going to lose your life. But if you give up if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. You will find life. That's Jesus' example. You know, the reason we have life because Jesus was willing to lose his physical life, to give it up, that we might find our life. Jesus gave us the perfect example so that we might take that step out of ourself. And part of taking that step out of ourself, we find talked about in Colossians. If you'll turn there, please. Colossians chapter 3. Reading through verse 10. Paul writes here, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So when we're talking about stepping outside ourselves, we know that that involves self-sacrifice, like Jesus was telling his disciples. And we know that stepping outside of ourselves, it means that we will put off who we were as physical, fleshly beings first and foremost. And if we are taking that step out of ourselves, what are we stepping into? If we're putting off our old man, then we are putting on something new. In Galatians 5, verse 24, we spent time there this morning in Brother Pike's lesson. Galatians 5, verse 24, and it says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So as we put off the old man, we step out of ourself, we give ourselves to the Lord. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first five verses. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." We just sang the song about the Macedonian call. "That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." So we see their actions, we see their liberality, and we see in verse 5, where as he's talking, he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. And if we're going to give ourselves to the Lord, we have to make that first step of stepping out of self. Last verse in this section, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Where Paul is to them saying, "Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, a song that we probably all know, but we don't sing it very often, the song, "None of Self and All of Thee," which in our books is 431. I just want to read the words in this song. In the first verse, it starts off, "Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. And day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered, none of self and all of thee." So I think this aptly describes this process in this first step, stepping out of ourself. And the second step, even though we've kind of already dealt with that, is stepping into Christ, out of self and into Christ. We know in Galatians, as it's talked about there, Galatians 3, where Paul again is writing to the Galatians, he says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So it's, as Paul is talking here, talking about being children of God, being baptized into Christ, putting on Christ. And as we take those verses and that message that he put forth there, We look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, when he says, "Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So we see here, talking about baptism, the likeness of his death, being children of God, we see here of putting on Christ, being into Christ in baptism. And we know that simply just being baptized in the water is in and of itself not what encompasses being in Christ. We realize and know that. What that does is it starts that process of us being that new creature. As we stepped out of ourselves, putting off the old man, and we're into Christ, and now we truly have that new creature that we see talked about going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15 through the remainder of that chapter. Christ died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This talks about the new creature. It talks about the ministry of reconciliation. It talks about being ambassador for Christ. And certainly, if we step out of ourselves and into Jesus Christ, we become an ambassador for Jesus Christ, not fulfilling our selfish interests first. And he says here that as ambassadors for Christ, it's as though that God were pleading through us to others for them to also be reconciled to him. In Ephesians chapter 2. And first of all, as we're talking about into Christ, putting on Christ, being that new creature, in verse 10, God writes through Paul, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And then we drop down to verse 19, where he continues and he says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." I know when I read through these verses, when it talks about in verse 21 especially, in whom the whole building being fitted together, it grows into a holy temple in the Lord. I kind of envision, you know, as a flower is blooming, is growing, and it blossoms in the beauty of it. It grows. That's the picture that I see here when he talks about we are no longer foreigners or strangers, you know, we're not that old person, but we are that new creature in Christ Jesus. And goes on and says, you know, we're fellow citizens, as we already talked about, being ambassador of Christ. And talked about that, you know, it's on a great foundation, you know, and then transforms this idea into the building. And talks about the holy temple. It grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And I just have a vision of that blossoming of the church that's being talked about, us as citizens of this same household of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we also talk about stepping out of ourselves into Jesus Christ, we know that that's where all the spiritual blessings abide. And that is also in Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, where Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has raised us, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." What we see in these verses is that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to be. That's where we should desire to be. And the last verse in this section is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 10 through 13. "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Jesus, we shall also live with Jesus. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." So when we talk about these first two steps, out of self and into Christ, we see how they're the most significant steps that we take in the life that we've been given here upon earth. Because Jesus Christ cannot deny himself. He has to be faithful to himself. And if we deny him in any fashion or form, he must deny us. We need to die with Jesus Christ that we can live with him. We need to then be patient and endure with him so we can also reign with Jesus Christ. The last step that we talked about is into heaven, after out of self and into Christ. We know that Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It's appointed to men once to die, and then after that, it's judgment time." And this third step into heaven is something that we don't take this step before we have to go through this process of accountability to God. We are facing the judgment seat of God as we take this last giant step to enter into heaven. In Romans, beginning in verse 7, it writes here, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, and that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account to himself to God. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look back over at that chapter. Looking at verse 6 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, we're well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You know, in Psalms 116, verse 15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is a truth that is spoken, but it would only apply to those who have allowed God to transform them in this lifetime. Then it is precious in the sight of God for the death of the saints. This Corinthians, as we have a couple, three verses left to look at in our lesson this evening, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And as we are willing to take those steps in our lifetime, out of ourself, into Jesus Christ, and as we are admonished by all these verses that we looked at this evening, and we go through that judgment process, that accountability process that we all will have to go through, that we've just looked at in these last few verses, then it's taking that step to home at last. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So I appreciate your attention this evening as we just look at this very simple lessons, three giant steps to heaven, out of self, into Christ, and into heaven, once we've given the accountability to God. And if we have allowed God to transform us in this life, then we will be transformed at that time, like some of the verses that we read, in the twinkling of an eye. This evening, this should be our thought, should be our desire, that we are taking these steps, that we can take that final step into heaven after we go through this life that God has given us. And so we're mindful of God's desire for us to be with Him, and we're mindful of His word and His plan that He's given us, that we can take the proper actions, that with our choice, that we can choose that with God. We can choose that fellowship with God. And this evening, as we're all mindful of God's plan, His invitation to us, His great love and desire for us to have fellowship with Him here and have eternal fellowship with Him in heaven, we should be thinking to ourselves about our relationship with God, where we stand, and what may need to be done if our relationship is not right with God. Whether the step has not been taken yet out of self and into Jesus Christ, having the proper faith, the proper attitude of wanting to change, repent, being very willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior, being willing to submit ourselves to God's will in baptism and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. However that we might need to respond to God's invitation, let's think upon that invitation right now and make sure that we have things right with God as we stand and sing this song.
Oh, heart, bow down.